Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight Iso van Eagle FM. Vandaag is maandag.
Hey! People are rolling. People are rolling.
Can't believe I got that, I got that right.
On the first try even, he was just like skidding it off, Helmut. Please don't tell me you were sailing.
University
on.
Of Pilo, no.
I'm talking about you. I was about to say you were surfing it on a concrete floor like cobra polish always, insulates a concrete floor. Okay, that's a 90s joke that we used to know, as kids that grew up in the 90s.
Cobra polish.
Yeah,
I remember those labels.
Back then when every soft drink was Coca-Cola, every candy fish is Lucky Star.
Not Coca-Cola.
Every toothpaste was Colgate. Good old days.
Yeah, Colgate is still there.
I know. But, there are a lot of people to this day that,
Lucky Star was actually a delicacy.
Oh, it's still a delicacy. I can't believe people don't...
it was a delicacy back in the 90s. If you could afford pulses in tomato sauce, man, it was a delicacy.
Are you kidding me? That's something you ate, Christmas until Christmas. Yeah, that's why Christmas was valued back then. Now you eat rice every day. Yeah, boring.
Yeah, now you have even you're now even looking for what you call it remix recipes of how the Asians prepare rice so that you can apply it in an African context. So yeah. Fun times. I mean fun times.
Glory days or like this. We've got to learn to be serious.
Yeah, people were saying what's up with the home run on 4:30.
It's Monday, guys. Yeah. I mean, well, it's Dwight's favorite day, and they well,
do you know that
not my favorite.
Yeah. Well, let me stop with the Monday jokes. It's Mondays. But anyway, yes, guys, welcome to your home run session as we start off this week. Obviously, as Helmut also greeted you guys, wherever you find yourself, this is your drive time session. We're once again dissecting another particular developmental subject matter. This is developmental from an aspect of the Standing Committee on Poverty Eradication, Labor Relations and Industry. They're from the National Assembly. They paid a visit to the Katima Ministerial Office for Ministry of Gender and Child Welfare. I thought it was actually the Katima Council, and I had to read 5 times just to make sure, where in between was this council sort of booted or being given the Sankwasanization, versus being present to accept a visit from a standing committee, an oversight committee regarding, what is actually happening. So on the download, dear listeners, in a short summary, just to, give you the springboard of where we're going to start off from, as you can obviously see and as you can obviously cite, the standing committee's name, Poverty Eradication, Labor Relations and Industry.
You can tell it's coming out of the Ministry of Gender.
No. What? They visited Ministry of Gender people.
Those are the standing committee guys.
Yeah. So they went and looked at, once again, poverty eradication.
Parliamentary standing committee.
And poverty alleviation activities that the ministry is conducting in that region through that office of theirs.
Now, one thing I found, okay, at least something that was new to me. You have projects that's going on, Although this discussion is based on the Zambezi region.
Yeah.
You have projects that's...
It seems like they were talking predominantly about activities around Katima. From the video itself.
They did talk about Katima Rural.
And Katima Rural apparently has so many projects.
Most of which are gardening projects.
Yeah. But anyway, you were still saying, Helmut. Let's not throw the cold water yet.
There's some type of clarities that needs to be made here in terms of in terms of funding. That it's kind of tricky for it's kind of tricky to tell who has been funded, who is drawing streams of revenue from different from different donors.
We should also be careful with the word revenue.
Not revenue.
Remember, the one stand, the one committee member asked the lady that was speaking. You know, how do we know that these things are actually, you know, that they've gotten off the ground
in terms of progress?
Progress. What stage are they at? What are they currently doing? How far do they get? And the lady that was the predominantly the speaker on behalf of the Extension Office of the Ministry of Gender there in Katima cited that when they did follow up exercises with the beneficiaries of said particular seed funding. Okay, so we're using the term, we're using a financial term now, Helmut. Seed funding or seed financing to help start the things, you know, they were giving
a startup
capital. Yeah. You know, let's use that, you know, that private sector lingo for now.
Startup. Makes you sound very fancy.
So they were providing seed financing or startup financing, you know, to help many of the applicants or beneficiaries in Katima Rural and other parts of the region to start their activities and get their projects off the ground. And most of them, as the particular speaker from the Ministry of Gender based in Katima cited, is that many of these projects did not start up. Many of these projects were either waiting for a part or a thing or one other particular aspect that costs more money, money that the particular beneficiaries don't have extra.
And the one the benefactors were supposed to provide.
Also supposedly. We put supposedly there in that sentence. Yeah. And many of these things didn't start off yet. The easiest projects that started off, I say easiest because the seed funding immediately began the project, were the backyard gardens. The small scale, you know, agricultural producers. Or the small scale vegetable producers, basically. And it seems that these were the only guys that could start things off. There was reference made or explanation made on behalf of a guy that wanted to do leather works. But he was too far away from where the actual source of the leather was. So there was a transportation issue. Plus, he also didn't have the...
Is that the guy that, that fixes shoes?
No, that was the other shoe.
Oh, yeah, that's a different.
There was a guy that was that wanted to do leather works.
Yeah.
One of the project proposals that the ministry officials received in the vicinity of Katima Rural, because it was just Katima Rural being spoken about mostly, guys. And some other small settlement clusters. The official cited specifically there was a leatherworks person or a guy that came forward with a very wonderful proposal. However, the supply of adequate leather was an issue for this person, as well as also the distance from where the leather source is, the production of the hides are, meaning let's for example say there's an abattoir and where the guy was. And then there was the shoe repair guy.
Who first of all was far from urban areas where you would expect a lot of people. Where you'd expect a lot of people to to require his service to require his service, and then there was now I'm a little confused here between the letter guy that you just used as an example and the one that was fixing shoes. Mm. Which one did the which one was somewhat they tried to assist the guy to acquire some of the cowhide products. And
wasn't that the leather guy?
I think it was the leather guy. Then the one they had to contact Nakara.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Nakara was like
a private sector company.
Yeah, like do you have money?
A private sector company.
This is look, Dwight.
And even Namibian calls here today saying
I walk past their store every day when I come. I've seen the price.
Yeah.
The moment they mentioned that I was like, "Yeah? You did what?"
Look, guys, we're not laughing because of the funny situation. We're laughing at the sarcastic position that comes out of it because this is a private sector entity, Hamun.
Yeah.
They will not sell things or give things away for free. Not even for CSR purposes.
Now, I have so many questions, one of which on just on the leather part is that, you know those cow hides we keep making fun of?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it Ondangwa Tandri?
Yeah.
Okay, so can someone...
With the volunteer work.
Thank you. Yeah. Can someone link these guys? Because it seems like they could do business just fine. Because you have some guys that have, you know, forever fresh cow hide and some stuck in a, you know, in a septic tank.
Yeah.
Obviously, it seems to me like they have products that is being required somewhere halfway across the country by someone that, you know, that, someone that could really use them. Because now, now, if I was those guys, I would have contacted those guys that are volunteering at Ondangwa Tannery to try and find out how they source their leather. Because I think it would be much easier to sort of like, sit and discuss in terms of, you know, in terms of assisting each other product wise with those guys than a private entity. For someone who is not, this is someone that is this is someone that's starting up.
Yeah.
That's like me say, you know, that's like me saying, well, I want to start manufacturing cars and I just want to go, you know, high end, like bulletproof and all this Lamborghini level style.
However, I want Toyota to cover, to give me things for free.
Toyota be like, well, it's nice to see you are being innovative, but no.
There's an AI joke, an AI meme that was put on social media.
Yeah.
It's an AI meme, guys, just to let you know, because I could see the AI working. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it's three Toyota engineers, all of them Japanese engineers standing close together, but they're laughing about a particular policy that they were told supposedly by the Japanese government, you know, try to make a, what's the thing's name? A carbon emissions free engine or a small engine, and reduce the particular size. They stand there laughing, going like, ho, uneconomical. However, we still maintain the same, the same input standards, and they still continue with doing the same thing, which helps people to understand how the private sector functions. Guys, the other bigger challenge of this particular excursion that was taken about, firstly, let me ask this question in the wind, you know, just into the wind, into our discussion.
Rhetorical.
As a rhetorical question to ask. Did the same standing committee, which is a new bunch or new batch of MPs, did they not go and check up on whether or not there was a similar standing committee whose tenure ended on 21 March? Did they really not go and check this out? Did they really not go and see the other reports that were generated by the National Council and by the Standing and by the National Assembly at the same time, their respective committees, their respective oversight committees? Did they not go and look at the reports generated by these guys?
Well, lucky for you and I, we sort of like have somewhat interesting inclination towards these reports.
Yeah.
The National Council, the National Council, this report came out this year in May. So this is out of the National Council, a report of the National Council Standing Committee on Education, Science, ICT and Youth Development Oversight, visit to youth projects in Erongo, Kunene, Omsati, Oshana, Ohangwena, and Oshodonjupa. This was conducted between 15 to 28 September of last year.
Yeah.
Now, this, however, is a separate report. Now, this is a separate report from the one that was, I think that's coming out of the National Assembly.
Yeah.
Coming out of the National Assembly Standing Committee on Natural Resources on capital projects. So this one is, this one is specifically youth projects.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the one on standing, the one on capital projects, that one is more like a grandeur in scale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now,
and that one can include works in terms of road construction, bridge construction, other things that are used for transportation, basically.
Now, here's the thing. That delay the delay in the, you know, arrival of funds for projects to start. That, you know, I started running into that, you know, into that sort of like, I started hearing that from this report of, you know, this report on youth projects in this different regions. Albeit, this is, the one in Zambezi now, the one that was recently conducted. I don't know how to classify that, if I should put it in capital projects or in youthful projects, because they're still trying to, you know, to sort of like they're still in okay, they did talk about what sounded like restructuring of should we bring these farmers together or should just you know, keep funding them individually, because we don't seem to be making any progress.
That too. Remember, Helmut, also tie in the report on the where we cited the, we love citing the Nkurunkuru, the empty Nkurunkuru garment factory.
Yeah, and that's capital projects.
No, that's the agro-processing.
Oh, yeah.
Capital projects is the one where the standing committee showed up to one of the local councillors in one of the regions.
Yeah, and they went, what project?
And then the local councillor asked them, whose projects? Which capital project? Where?
My question would have been, how are you here again?
How are you vote? I would have asked, how are you voted in? You don't know what projects are happening in your constituency.
That's very easy.
Or in your region.
Well.
And they're on the regional council. They're on the regional council, these councillors. But anyway.
Do you know what this means?
What?
It means you and I will make excellent councillors. Vote at your own risk.
No one will vote for us after you said that. No one
just
will
ruined
vote.
Our political career.
No one will vote for us. The actual fact is actually no one will want us to be even a politician, because we will speak the truth.
We'll
actually stick to the facts of things.
We are those people that will start asking for. Hey.
Do you know what's been the weirdest example that I've ever seen of a politician, a new politician that steps into the realm of politics, then tries to stick to the facts pertaining to a subject matter in a debate with other politicians on a national TV service, which is not in Namibia, guys. Don't worry. It was in the UK. This happened like 2 years back. I can't remember the politician's name. However, the guy came on the show and then started, you know, talking about facts. He listed facts of events and things and policies and legislation, pieces of legislation. Mm-hmm. And obviously the other politicians on the panel were all sort of like against what he was saying. They were all attacking. They are literally political enemies between each other, the politicians.
Yeah.
But they were literally all ganging up against him on the same panel in terms of the same particular debate. And afterwards, he explained the discussion that, okay, British politics is different, guys, from African politics entirely, even in here in Namibia, where they all told him after, you know, off stage, after the show, behind, you know, as they were
behind
about
the
to
scenes,
leave,
yeah.
behind the scenes, you know what, we couldn't agree with you on national TV, because,
but
you are right on everything.
Seriously?
And he was like, huh? What? What? So, in many cases,
they really did say that?
They told him that. Okay, that's through his
according
mouth.
To him, yeah.
That's according to him. So technically, you also have to put up a major sign saying that.
Yeah, take it with
a Sahara Desert size of salt. So from that particular scenario, obviously, you get to understand, okay, so the discussion is not, you know, it's not entirely based upon sticking to the facts of the matter. However, for us, Helmut and I, you know, We're in a pretty good space, because we have to state to facts. We cannot, what's that word's name? Twist the facts that differ from reality, because the same reality as you see it, you have to continue with the same reality. So the reality on the ground was, what projects are working in terms of poverty alleviation and to what extent? Do you know what has been one of the interesting things, Hamoud? Is that many of these particular projects, specifically like the backyard garden setups, were all like household size based projects.
That's, that's why I said I don't know how to categorize them, whether, you know, I don't know if they, I mean, it's, it's kind of difficult to classify them under, under youth projects, because the word youth is not mentioned anyway. Yeah. And you can't classify them under capital projects, because capital projects in terms of investment and also exercises being carried out are very massive.
Pretty big. Yeah.
So, this could, I mean, if it was using, let's just say using, a music analogy, if this was music, this would be a whole new genre.
Technically not. It would technically fall within the realm of our basic income grant discussion. But here it was a scenario of each applicant got an allocation of 70,000 Namibian dollars, because that was what the official cited. The size in terms of, the project budget size.
Yeah.
No, well, not each individual project budget size, guys. The explanation she provided was that apparently all budgets total up to 70,000 or 77,000. And that the same allocation stays the same, has been staying the same for the past 4 or 5 years, apparently. Which is also an alarming situation, because I would have thought that if it was 70,000 per application, I could understand. Okay, so there's substantial, though limited in its size, but substantial budget application being applied to, poverty eradication measures in the Greater Katima. So I say Greater Katima, this includes Katima Urban and Katima Rural. But when you sit with a scenario of all projects supposedly tallying up to 77,000, so every person is coming for 1,000 here and 1,000 there and 1,000 here and 1,000 there? What?
These are backyard garden, duh.
True. I mean, you can do most of the things yourself.
Yeah.
The land would technically already be there.
And you have someone that's,
helping you with the hard labor. And so the application would probably just be based upon what? Seeds? Buying seeds? Seeds for $1,000, how much? Look, I'm no crop no crop grower.
Mm-hmm.
You can educate me today, Hamus. You have that right today.
Nah.
Do seeds cost $1,000?
The problem is that's going to depend on a lot of things.
Yeah.
And it's not actually rocket science, because the first thing you have to figure out is having a backyard garden is one thing. What are you farming with? Are you farming cabbages?
Are you doing broccoli? Yeah, doing broccoli like a Oprah?
Please don't. Well, that has been tested and proven. Don't try it.
Look, Helmut, if you produce the thing, then just make sure that there is an offtake. There is someone buying the thing.
Okay, that's exactly one thing that was also pointed out, I think, to some degree.
The offtake.
The offtake. Because, especially, I think that was made in reference to, to cabbage growers. Because, these cabbages are produced, but then, these are, what do they call these types of food, types of produce that quickly spoil?
Perishable.
Perishable. Thank you. As soon as they are harvested.
Yeah.
As soon as they are harvested, they need to get off the shelves ASAP.
Yeah.
As they're harvested,
they need to get into storage quickly.
That's another question. If you're producing something on a small scale, this is a scale as small as backyard gardening. How much storage do you have?
Yeah.
For that? That's also another question. Do you have the storage for it?
Yeah.
Because if you don't have the storage, then you better have a market, because it have to fly off the shelf or it's going to spoil.
Yeah. The downside is also, Helmut, the standing committee discovered right there with the presentation coming through from the ministry officials that the biggest concern for many of the projects is that they need a market. They need to supply a market, and there needs to be a demand factor. One of the MPs asked.
After
the ad break, yeah.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Vintook Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Vintook Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Vintook Beer, and you could win. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
Welcome back. The time is just a minute past the hour of 5. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight. And today's discussion is poverty alleviation, fact-finding mission that was conducted by the Parliamentary Standing Committee on Poverty Eradication, Labour and Ministry Industrial Relations. And officials from with officials from the Ministry of Gender Equality and Child Welfare in Katima Mlilo.
Yeah.
And now this was last month. Look, this report took me to a lot of previous reports, but before I, start throwing in Ethiopia, because our Natural Resources Standing Committee also went to Ethiopia to sort of like look at the way that the Ethiopian government is practicing agriculture, especially on a small scale, and see how it can be implemented here. I hope these guys also visited that report, because it has recommendations that they could have just...
And that's the question, that's why I started with that question before the ad break as well, Helmut. Do these guys not read the reports generated by the?
Okay, now there goes our political career out in flames. But continue.
No, really, Helmut.
Yeah.
Because if we have to ask the question of poverty eradication, and now you and a whole bunch of new MPs, you now stepped into the National Assembly, you're now formed into these standing committees. Now you go on these regional excursions, which are funded by the taxpayer, basically, and you are going there to get first-hand knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But you did not take the basic exercise or to conduct the basic exercise of first seeing what was generated by other entities. We're not the United States, Helmut, where they are generating 1,000-page deep bills every day or every week.
Mm-hmm.
And each MP in the US needs like 5 aides or 10 aides, dependent upon your allocation of your seat that you get paid for, to try and read through everything, because you're just one person, one man, one woman. No, our MPs don't generate as much content. They don't generate as much reports. So all they needed to do was go through by year. It's a very simple function. You go into the Parliament's website, guys, if you're an MP listening, and you read everything that's there. There's a drop-down menu for National Assembly committees and National Council committees. And you check which ones came through from the past years or the past term, the 5-year term, and you read their reports.
Oh, I have one more. Very nice, addition.
Because now they show up, Helmut, and then do you know what they're not asking?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, do you know what's the one question they asked the lady from the ministry? Do you have any idea of what the other ministries are doing in the region? Of course she will say, no, I don't know what the other ministries are doing. Which she's pinpointing to the SDG report that we did on agriculture. That ministries should stop functioning in silos. Right?
Mm-hmm.
She literally...
Well, yeah, that was the Auditor General's report.
Yeah. That report cited that ministries should stop functioning in silos. Because how does a ministry like agriculture before it now became Ministry of Agriculture with Fisheries, how does a ministry not know that it has an environmental mandate to protect soil, insect species, other small animal species, and underground water resources from harmful chemicals, and that the possible harmful chemicals come from pesticides when they react every time to an environmental danger that literally poses a threat to communal farmers. And then their teams show up there with these dispensers, and it could be an environmentally dangerous pollutant.
That's one of those very odd contradictions coming out of how we, at least as a species, solve problems. But coming back to it's like the Auditor General's report on the was that on the Ministry of Agriculture and Ministry of Environment. Ministry of Agriculture, because where they pointed out that the use of artificial insecticides and artificial inorganic fertilizer. It's actually counter the productivity that the Ministry of Agriculture, the Ministry of Environment would like to achieve, because the Ministry of Environment is to protect, the natural environment, aka anything from fauna and flora, animals and plants, basically everything.
Yeah.
Now the thing is, the products that are being applied, that are being used out of the Ministry of Agriculture to, as we work as a country our way towards food, achieving food security, is one that requires them, at least at this point, if they were, if we want to work fast enough, it requires them to use inorganic fertilizer, which is very, 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 very terrible for the environment.
Yeah.
We're talking water pollution and, plant species and everything, animal life and all, all these things, it causes a lot of these problems. Now you have this dilemma going on of, do we do organic only? And you look at the level of workload you have to carry out to just, to produce enough fertilizer for a hectare, let alone 100 or 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
So, that's the dilemma I think these two ministries are sitting with. Ministry of Agriculture cannot not use inorganic fertilizer.
Exactly.
They cannot not use insecticides.
Exactly.
It's like they can't. Unless the goal is to, to achieve their goals in 2100, then they'll be spot on. Now, so, you have, now you find yourself dealing with a scenario of, you have to break a few eggs to make an omelette.
Mm.
That's a lot of contradictions. But
the aim was not supposed to break any eggs.
The aim was not supposed to break any eggs.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the yolk is inside, so.
True.
Unless you can teleport your way in there and then drink it from inside and teleport your way out.
True.
You're gonna have to break it.
Because you'll also have to ask yourself, where should the omelette take place? Is the omelette taking place as you are transporting said particular eggs from the chicken coop to the kitchen? Or is the omelette creation scenario, meaning egg breaking, taking place post kitchen arrival, meaning it's at the kitchen, it's being now prepared for dinner and so forth.
Yeah.
Because if it's definitely pre kitchen, you are in big trouble. If it's post kitchen, then you obviously know it's towards the good benefit. Now, obviously moving away from our idiom or our particular metaphor that we've applied there, Helmut.
Yeah.
It is a guaranteed no, that obviously the official would answer to the standing committee, no, she does not know what other activities the other ministries are implementing in the region or in these other rural communities that were stated. Here's the thing. It is funny to hear that Ministry of Gender is assisting in an agricultural activity.
Oh, I didn't look at it that.
It is very funny for one ministry funding for an agricultural activity in another ministry's mandate. It is a very weird thing.
Maybe they conducted them, right?
But she just said she doesn't know. When we watched the video, she was asked the question, do you know what other ministries are doing in the region? She said no, but you are the dispenser of funding for poverty eradication projects in the region.
Hang on a second. That's an interesting way of looking at it. Like these projects that are going on in the because they did mention that most of them are more like backyard gardening. So that's false. You know, that can easily be categorized under, you know, what you'd find, you know, projects being, you know, being run by the Ministry of Agriculture. So if the, is the Ministry of Agriculture aware of it or they're not? I'm just going to give them the benefit of the doubt and hope they are aware of what they're doing, albeit the Office of the Auditor General's report would beg to differ.
Mm.
Yeah, assuming they're not, still not working in silos, which is just,
it was glaringly obvious.
It
was glaringly obvious here in this particular exercise, because you could see just from that question that was answered, the response given.
Okay, so the Minister of Labour is involved, the Minister of Gender is involved, but I don't see the Minister of Agriculture anywhere near this.
But it's Minister of Agriculture activities.
I'm just curious to find out.
That was stated.
I'm just curious to find out, how does this work?
Minister of Industrialization and Activities and Trade Activities, that was stated, meaning the leatherworks and the shoe repair guy. Those are trade and industry activities.
Were all these guys supposed to have their representatives in this thing?
I don't know, because the excursion there just states that they went to, that they spoke to Ministry of Gender and Child Welfare, ministry officials of in Katima, meaning of Zambezi region.
Yeah, yeah.
So this obviously means this is an extension office. So this means that they didn't speak to the regional council. The staff that work there, because the regional councils, Helmut,
they also have their own projects that they're funding.
Plus, there's also officials that literally represent each mandate of each ministry. So you will have a Ministry of Health, administration or aspect in a regional council. You will have a Ministry of Finance. You will have a Ministry of, you name it. You will have those guys represented in the regional councils, because the regional councils also have to literally mirror the activities of the ministry, of each ministry.
Yeah.
It's a monumental task for each ministry to be present everywhere at every time across the country. Namibia is a big country.
Yeah.
Other countries are lucky that they have large populations that they can deploy a lot of people with. Namibia has a lot of activities, but too few people to deploy.
Don't say that.
We have
the guys that are applying for jobs will be here like, hey, I've been sitting here for 10 years.
But then they are the incorrect guys.
Oh.
Once again, we come back to the primary school, high school misalignment.
Yeah.
We are producing too many teachers in lower primary levels.
Then you have a high school.
And we've got a major demand in secondary school level. And you can clearly see all these teachers probably just want to deal with all the, you know, cuddly bundles of joy of the rest of Namibia's community, broader community. They don't want to deal with any, you know, hormone-driven, still trying to explore what is life discussions from 14 to 19 years old. Do you want to work with a teenager at that age range, Helmut, as a high school teacher?
Oh, I did.
I know, which is why
I came here.
I know. I know I'm asking you to answer something that you already experienced and probably, you know, you might have a little bit of trauma about. But yeah, who wants to deal with the high school kids? And obviously the particular scenario that stems from this is one that points to what are the actual goals that you wish to achieve?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about in terms of a nation. Now, this then is where we get interesting things, Helmut. We mentioned the leatherworks and the shoe repair guy.
Yeah.
The empty garment factory in Kurunkuru would be better served to get their leather input, meaning the material or any materials, from Undangwa or from wherever. And ad break before we come back, guys.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original or Vintook Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Quarter past the hour of five. This is Homerun with Helmut and Dwight, and here on Eagle FM.
So, to ask the actual question of poverty alleviation activities, we are now sort of like in a different dimension from our basic income grant discussion we spoke about last week, Helmut.
Yeah.
Because we have to look at activities that technically helps. You can't even call these guys like small scale farmers because they're literally subsistence producers.
Yeah.
Literally subsistence producers. That's not ultimately the discussions that were mentioned. The second scenario is one based upon if it's subsistence production, people obviously need money. You can't just say, I'm going to send you to school without money. If you're a parent in that scenario, in terms of, you know, where, you know, you probably need an intervention, you probably need, some kind of a project that helps with income generation. But then you can't just wake up there and work from a production philosophy. Remember what the breakdown I gave last week in terms of production philosophy, sales philosophy, and then the marketing philosophy. So they're actually known as principles. The production principle, market, sales principle, and the marketing principle. The marketing principle combines these two, but then advances
production and sales.
Well, it takes it to another realm as well, because you need to motivate that you've produced something.
Yeah.
Not motivate, you need to promote that you've produced something, and you need to position distribution points so that people can know, oh, since Dwight is advertising or promoting that he is making the best sort of like moonshine in his backyard, not that I'm making moonshine, I'm just using it as an example. If you don't know what moonshine is, go and Google it, guys. I'm not going to explain it here live on air. The scenario obviously from that would be, how do I get, if I'm an interested customer, how do I get hold of this particular subject? That other question that we cited just before the ad break about the feedback that the lady, the Ministry of Gender lady provided in terms of many of the beneficiaries of the funding, the seed funding and startup capital, don't have access to markets.
Now, this is what we have been through. We have been down this road before, and Helmut and Dwight's song has been Peugeot. To think that we would have learned a lesson. But now, one example that you can also look at in terms of more like how not very good we are at doing due diligence at some of these things would be, when, you know, going through this and hearing that, lack of market access, it brought to my head two stories. One, the Peugeot, that one is well known. And one that I also like to reference about the former Ghanaian president that found himself, was that back in 2021 in Switzerland, trying to tell the Swiss government that we know you guys are the biggest producers of chocolate and we're the biggest suppliers of cocoa. Now, the thing is, we would like to process everything at home, add value addition and everything at home. And the interesting thing is, I'm not sure if that was the Ghanaian government or the government of Ivory Coast. They really put in effort in investing. And I think their programs in that direction that are still running. Now, what they decided to do was, let's empower young business individuals that would like to produce chocolate, for example. Let's empower them by giving them, by incentivizing them, whether with taxes or just direct cash injection. Now, then, they just quickly learned that, chocolate melts and we're in Africa.
It's not just that.
So you need a lot of storage. But before you get to the storage, the biggest problem, the first biggest problem they ran into was milk.
It's not just that.
You need a lot of it. Now, for that, the, yeah, milk and sugar.
It's not just that.
You need also a lot of that.
Do you know what was the biggest concern?
What would that be?
That I could see. I don't know if you remember that one other particular, these weird documentaries that popped up in between, after that Nana Akufo-Addo engagement with the Swiss president about,
Oh no, they were not very happy. No.
Producing their own, you know, about Africa taking back its own means of production. How can you produce something if you don't even know if your own population eats the thing?
For one,
this is literally what happened to the guy from the organic farming thing. The guy with the broccoli.
Oh, broccoli.
When he showed up and everyone was like, what is this? he could only sell, like he said, he could only sell the leaves of the thing, of the broccoli. Not even the broccoli itself.
All he did was ask me.
He didn't know that you were there.
Dwight, if you look at things like broccoli, there are two ways you can prepare it.
You steam it.
You can steam it, or you can just have it with salad.
I know.
But here's
but was the vicinity, was the population...
Before you even finish the question, no!
No! Sorry for the punchline, guys, but really?
If you want my dad to hit you in the face with a plate, just give him Greek salad. Or any type of salad, because
there are Namibians. There are Namibians that don't like salad.
It's not native.
Yeah.
And we're still, I know what you're gonna say, we have a lot of, we have a lot of food we eat. But the thing is, we are very strong on cooking,
It must be fire produced.
We are very strong on cooking.
Or it must be stove produced.
Yeah.
And the representation of each meal's importance every day is a scenario, I want a plate.
You know how I found out that we have the coolest boss. I know you're listening, dude. But here's the thing. I found myself at actually the first time in the history of mankind at this one eating establishment here, just along Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
there's a whole bunch of them, but okay.
I will have to send them an invoice.
Don't mention names.
Yeah, there's just one after Spa.
Okay.
It's one of the, one of those fancy places. Hence, my boss was there.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it was in the morning. I ordered breakfast. I wanted, I wanted, an egg sandwich.
Yeah.
Homeboy brought me an egg that was running.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, here's the thing. You're missing something here. I'm black. So an egg that's running. How am I supposed to have that? So I decided, now I didn't say any of that out loud because, well, I was surrounded by, white people. Now, I'm black. When I order food, I want it half bent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's how cooked I want it to be. So when it comes to the broccoli in Rundu, maybe.
Mm.
But, at the village, first of all, you'll have to explain what broccoli is.
You will.
And second of all, you'll have to explain how to prepare it.
You will also have to do that.
Which
takes you past your production principle.
Now,
already.
Eating it, that's a whole different ballgame.
Of course, that happens naturally.
Whether it's in a form of salad or steamed.
Yes.
Everyone will tell you, still not cooked.
Now, here's where things get interesting, Helmut. For example, taking a particular look at the question that we obviously started our discussion off from, this part of our discussion, where the standing committee asked the Ministry of Gender official, what is happening in terms of generating a market for them or generating customers for them? The downside that many people forget is I am very sorry, dear listeners, if you're listening to this particular segment of our show, and I'm actively meaning it. If you're paying, like, your ears are honed in. You cannot expect the government to generate a market for you. It is not the government's responsibility. If you say you want to start a business, you're supposed to indicate that you've got the market already. You cannot ask for the money, the seed funding, and then also go and do the marketing exercise for me. You're not supposed, that it doesn't work like that, guys. Unless the government itself is the market, meaning, let's for example say you were the 3-year-old beneficiary whose dad, you know, runs the company on your behalf, and the dad has the supply contracts and the dad knows that the government needs the medicine. Yeah, sure, no problem. That is literally, you know what to do and you know how to plug what hole. The downside is when it comes to any other aspect of the broader economic space, even the internal economy of the correctional services know who is the market. Hence the reason why they identified they don't need money. The money is there to just, you know, make sure the other things are running and in order. But you've got one prison, Helmut, that does the animal husbandry, looking after cattle, pigs, and some other particular animals. You've got another prison or another correctional service center that does crop cultivation in one other spot. You've got another one that makes the garments, and another one that makes the shoes, another one that makes handicrafts and all that kind of stuff. And they supply each other internally.
I mean, it's a whole ecosystem here.
I need to send an invoice to correctional services. I can't be promoting their internally cut off, eternally internal economy and manufacturing complex that sits there, but the Namibian economy, the greater Namibian economy, cannot tap into them.
Now, you know what? Look, I'm still going to maintain that we all need to be jailed. I think it would be very productive.
What? What, Helmut?
Seems like that's the only way it's gonna work. Look, I'm glad you know.
No, Helmut. No. I don't want to go to jail.
Well,
just to participate in a manufacturing
exactly.
space.
Exactly. I'm telling you, if we were all in jail, we'd be killing it economically, because that's what's going on in the in the correctional services.
Yeah.
They have they've basically achieved manufacturing and food security. We're still struggling.
Yeah, the rest.
The only difference between us is the inside, the outside. Or it's either that or well, make farmers be supervised by correctional services. But 28 minutes left to the hour of 5. Okay. In 2 minutes, we are going to take a commercial break. But before we do that, just keep it ringing, because I don't, to keep you holding. But one thing that I found, I like reading comments. One thing that I found in this, if you look at the, the comment section, I have another pointer to make when it comes to finding the market yourself.
Mm.
Yeah, but I want to use the youth projects.
Yeah.
Yeah, the youth projects that was conducted. Now, on page 13 of the on page 13 of the National Council report on National Council Standing Committee report on on the youth projects in Rongo, Kunene, Omusati, Oshano, Hangwena, and Oshodonjupa, just scroll away to page 13. You'll find one that is very interesting about Valvis Bay Rural Mini Market in the Rongo region.
Mm.
These guys, the first 2 points, and I think it's the last 2 points, I'll just read through them on the other side of the break. Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. Stay tuned.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Welcome back. The time is 30 minutes to the hour of 6 past the hour of 5. If you just tuned in, this is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. Now, before we continue, let's take a live read. Get to You Save today, where every penny counts. Pay only $139.99 for selected Lavis Premium disposable nappies, $6.99 for 8 Nina sanitary pads, $19.99 for 200 milliliter clay body lotion, one kilo bag sunlight, 5-in-1 washing powder, cost only $34.99 at You Save. And a large tin, right brand dog food for just $26.99. You save, we all save, at You Save. We continue. Now, part one, comment section. You have some interesting comments going on in that comment section. It seems to me like people had something different to say, different from what was being discussed in the standing committee. But that's the standing that's the comment section. We're not going to reference that. What we are going to reference, on the other hand, is the National Council report on youth projects. This was part of the Erongo region project. Now, Valvis Bay Rural Market is a youth-led enterprise which sells food. I'm not sure if they still do that. Now I'll point to the reason why. Now, the second point is, the business has 5 beneficiaries, of which 3 are women and 2 are men. Gender equality check. Now, the business idea was conceived and approved in 2018. However, funding was only availed in 2024. Mm. Delay check. Now, and the business only began operating around June of 2024 after receiving a loan amount of 228,000, of which an amount of 33,000 was given in cash as a startup capital. Now, when you just go to the second last point, the business is now this is the point now this is something that the business the beneficiaries of this initiative gave to the to the standing committee when they sort of like basically tried to look at the update, like how far are you guys doing, any progress, any challenges, and if there's any we can help. Mm. Now in regard to the business's inability to attract customers due to its location, the committee was of the opinion that the business lacked marketing strategy and proper branding, which made it difficult for customers to locate the business.
But here's the downside. Now, what was the business's name? Mm-mm. If you read that name again. Mm-hmm. What was that business's name?
Here's the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
The business is further challenged by the fact that it's located among big supermarkets where people prefer to buy in bulk. Now, these are obviously challenges. These are challenges that this business is facing.
Yeah.
But, this was supposed to be solved by the government. How?
Exactly. Exactly. Hence the reason why I made the statement just before the ad break, in terms of you can't ask the government after you are applying for seed funding from the government to start an endeavor, to ask them, go and do my marketing activities for me. Helmut, here close to where this, this corner shop here, not far from us.
Yeah.
That corner shop was there before the what's this shop's name here close to us? The Checkers opened up here.
Yeah.
It was there, it was similarly there, well, the Voerman Brock was there obviously, where it is currently still today. But it was there before the Spar behind it opened up.
Mm-hmm.
It was literally in a strategic spot that served a particular purpose to a community found in this greater Ludwigsdorf and Klein Windhoek area and Eros area of Windhoek. The downside is, not many people are trained in the realm of seeking the best distribution point.
Oh dear.
You remember the reason why we did the markets discussion? Not the markets discussion from the guy with the broccoli example. The other markets discussion, you know, why markets, community markets are a good thing. Because community markets, as long as you're not 50 people selling the same thing. Mm-hmm. We can't all be selling tomatoes. We can't all be growing a tomato, coming to the same market, all of them selling a tomato.
The reason why we have more bars than churches. Yes, well, someone started selling alcohol from their bar, then, it worked for them. Then everyone was like, oh, well, that works. So, you have inflation going on.
I'm going to open up my bar, not where, right next to Helmut's bar.
Yep.
And then another person comes and opens up a bar right next to my bar, which is right next to Helmut's bar. And now we've got this line of bars for no reason.
Like, is that the only business?
How? Which obviously points towards, firstly, it's a lucky strike if everyone is successful.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lucky strike. And I'll tell you this. Not everyone has the same patrons every day unless you are giving the alcohol away for free. There is no way in Namibia.
That's very nice because very soon you'll close and then we'll
and
one
then,
competition down.
Exactly. You won't be giving away alcohol for free. So the downside.
Now, if you have alcohol to give for free, please do. And make sure I'm in the queue. But the downside is.
The downside is we really have to be serious about commercial activity. Because if we all try to engage in commercial activity on the basis that we want the seed funding,
mm-hmm.
but we don't understand how to do marketing or how to do, or just the basics of the marketing principle, meaning you go and look at for a good enough or an adequate distribution point whereby you're going to sell from.
Yeah.
You're going to go and extensively do your marketing. Helmut, do you know how bad it is? Do you know how extensive it is for these streamers, on around the world? The streamers that are on Twitch or on YouTube or on, what's the other streaming platform's name? Kick. Do you know how difficult it is for those guys to be monetized?
Oh yeah.
The one guy explained, Asmongold. Asmongold explained, the moment you make it big, and that's not even guaranteed within the first year of you starting a stream. So a streamer, guys, can also be thought of as a podcaster, just so that you know. A podcaster is just that the downside of a podcaster is in many cases podcasters don't do their things live.
Yeah, then most of them are recorded.
Are pre-recorded, yeah, and then edited. A streamer does everything live. Everything live. The streamers, Helmut, literally, they go and they have to literally meet certain standards of being monetized, meaning you must have a specific high definition quality recording,
yeah.
Meaning a certain kind of a camera. You must be, your setting must be well lit, meaning the amount of light that you get.
Like professional lighting.
Should be, you know, you should have that, what do they call that? That it's like overexposure. You should be in a setting to, at least in terms of that your internet is of a certain standard, meaning a certain speed. You should be able to do certain things and certain, and these are all things that you have to check.
Yeah.
These are all the requirements before you can even get to the monetization. Then comes the next level. You can only be monetized at a certain level if you've got certain followers and certain viewers and certain this and certain that. You will start getting monetized. And in that monetization platform or in those requirements, a percentage is taken by the platform.
Yeah.
A percentage. So now, if people go and literally read the fine print in terms of doing business, how can we show up and ask the government, while you're asking the government, help me with funding to start a business,
then
please go and do my marketing activities. You're asking government officials.
And also if you can help me with a location to where to
a distribution place as well.
Thank you.
That'd be nice. And also how to understand how a copy shop or printing shop works. What? You're asking government officials who don't have to work for any targets? Yes, I said that boldly. any government official, you can come and challenge me on that. Because you guys don't have to work for monthly targets.
Just so we are clear, that's Dwight.
Yes. You, don't worry, guys. You can come. I have no issue. Don't worry. You guys don't have any targets. Mm. You just have to make sure that the paper moves from the right-hand side of your desk to the left-hand side of your desk. And tomorrow you repeat the same process from left to right. Don't worry, guys. The downside here is you can't ask a government official to generate a market for you. Helmut, they don't know that, they don't know what the public sector is about. The public sector is literally about survival. If you don't make sales, you don't have money. If you don't have money, you can't pay for things. If you don't have things, no.
Is that the public or the private?
Private.
Yeah.
There's no way that you'd be surviving. No way. So we really have to understand the scope of the poverty eradication interventions. Because I can understand the scope of a basic income grant initiative, which is championed by civil society guys, because those guys are showing towards, you do one mechanism. You're not marketing or promoting anything. You're just putting an intervention there in the form of a cash grant. It starts everything automatically. But if you say, come and apply for funding for a project, another person shows up. Now 100 people show up with the same idea. We all want backyard gardens. Oh, we all want to grow potatoes. Or we all want to grow tomatoes. Or we all want to grow cabbages.
Well, there's money coming. You've got to get some of it.
And who's going to buy your cabbage? Oh, no, we don't know. How could you not know? Are you going to eat the cabbages? No, I don't eat cabbage. I'm not a cabbage fan.
Yeah, it's going to spoil if we don't sell it ASAP. So that means what you need is storage.
Or I would like to start a poultry farm. Okay, do you know who you're going to supply the eggs and meat or chicklets or whatever to? No, I don't know. What? How do you not know? There's a wonderful story that my sister told me last week. So she watched a Afrikaans agricultural program from South Africa. And what they did, the producers of this program, they took a commercial farmer, a white guy, and they had him interact with a communal farmer. All I remember is from the story is that the guy's name was Sipo, the communal farmer.
Yeah.
And this was sort of like a knowledge sharing situation. And at the heart of Sipo's concerns is that Sipo kept telling the commercial farmer, the white guy, we don't have enough food to grow. We don't have enough food to consume in the community. We can't use GMOs because we need permissions from the traditional council.
Yeah.
And the Ministry of Agriculture in South Africa doesn't allow for the use of GMOs in communal areas. And we can't do this and we can't do that. And we can't do this. Our water pump has been broken for the past 6 months. We told the Ministry of Agriculture officials to come and fix it. And up to date, it still has not happened. The commercial farmer told him, the water pump, you should have fixed the day that it broke. Yeah, but who was going to pay for it? The commercial farmer explained to that communal farmer, you call the guy, you pay the guy, you make arrangements to pay him at the end of the month. People are willing to help, Helmut.
Yeah.
As long as you agree to the price, they will agree to terms.
And honor your agreement.
And you stick to the agreement. Various particular things start happening, and the commercial farmer apparently didn't understand the term subsistence. Because he's a commercial guy. To work on a farm is, you must be able to sell what you are producing. Yeah. So you must have an offtake.
Yeah.
So in one or other scenario, I understand and I can see that Namibians, especially communal farmers in Namibia, they do have an idea of selling something to generate money. But before that, we've got an ad break, guys.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Vintook Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Vintook Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Vintook Beer, and you could win. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
15 minutes to the hour of 6. Before we continue, let's take a live read.
Velvice University, where the 2026 applications are now open for the Faculty of Health Sciences, and the following programs are Certificate in Pharmacy Level 5, Certificate in Health Science Foundation Level 5, Certificate for Enrolled Nurse, Midwife or Accoucheur Level 6, Diploma in Environmental Health Science Level 6, Bachelor of Social Work Honours, Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours, Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing Level 8, and Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing Level 8. Application fee is $230. Application deadline is 30 November 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Velvice University, where everyone is an achiever.
Welcome back. So Namibians know.
Yeah. So I am glad to see that Namibians know that they wish to grow, develop, manufacture, produce things for a market.
Yeah.
The question is, Namibians now have to understand that the moment you engage is you are engaged in an every step project, meaning you have to be involved in every step of your project. So just to come and say, Hamoud, yeah, I'd like money to produce something, but then I ask you, okay, so where are you going to sell it? Because I need to know if you're going to be able to live and run with this project for the rest of your life.
Have you seen the show? Was that Shark Tank?
Isn't it? Is it Shark Tank? Dragon's Den?
They're somewhat the same.
No, but that program is flawed, Hamoud.
In what way?
Well, let me put it like this. All the dragons, which are technically all
guys with money,
established business leaders, they can immediately veto down a business proposal that they feel they don't wish. Obviously, the scenario from Dragons Den was all those dragons sitting there, all those business people sitting there, can become your future investor.
Investors, yeah.
Or they can become your venture capitalist, meaning they can finance your endeavor. The downside of that Dragon's Den scenario was that they were still going to own your means of production.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have obviously made them more money. Yeah, sure. So in essence, it wasn't a scenario that was completely sort of like you winning money, for the best idea.
Not a lotto.
Yeah. It wasn't, and it was supposed to be like a lottery scenario, not a scenario of each one of these established business people sitting there who are getting paid, by the way, to be on that show.
Yeah.
They're being paid to be on that show. And they then become your financier, the owner through your idea. Obviously, that's how many businesses run in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
The downside from that is just, Helmut, that they can also buy you out, your idea out. They can give you a lump sum of money and tell you, please don't. Let me take over everything, and then your idea dies there. Which could have been potentially a new business venture that could have generated new products, generated new jobs, started something completely new, and would have potentially added a new millionaire on the block somewhere.
You know, I referenced those shows because of, you know, more like, found their vetting process interesting because they would, you know, they'll be just sitting there as a panel.
Yeah.
And, anyone that has a business idea would then have to explain this business idea to them, and then they will ask questions in return.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I feel like, we're missing to some degree that in terms of, whenever someone wants funding for a business, obviously you have a business plan and everything. I think the biggest question we have not been answering in terms of most of these, business plans that we're making is, where is your market? And this, unfortunately, we have a terrible large-scale example. That's Peugeot. We came up with an idea of, okay, you know what? Let's assemble cars with parts coming out of France.
Yeah.
No one took a few steps back to say, okay. Well, Mr. Chopin did. To ask one very simple question.
Do you know that I also watched the documentary
about, where are you going to sell this?
To help with that Peugeot discussion.
Yeah.
I watched the documentary about the Peugeot's
the Peugeot group. It's known as the PSA group. Peugeot, Citroën, and Opel. Peugeot, Citroën, Opel, and Vauxhall group is the name, but the PSA is an acronym. Those guys, Helmut, their CEO, the CEO they have today, his background is that he was a test driver for Renault. He's got an engineering qualification. He's not an accountant, so he doesn't come with rapid cost-cutting measures. The first thing that he did, Helmut, to turn around Peugeot, Citroën, and Opel and Vauxhall. Okay, Opel and Vauxhall were bought in 2018, to the group. The turnaround strategy that he employed there was a scenario not based upon seeking a bailout from the government. Although in Europe, you've got a funny thing of governments having percentages in private companies as a money-making mechanism. He went onto one of the factory floors in Sochaux in France. Sochaux is the city where Peugeot was born, the car brand. He went onto one of the factories there. He discovered they had a line, meaning to put a line, which is like where you assemble parts for a specific part of the car. They had a line which included offering a customer 28 different versions of the same steering wheel.
Huh?
Let me say that again. He walked in there because he obviously, if you're a CEO, you look at how much money is coming in versus how much money is going out.
Yeah.
Because there's obviously a reason in terms of where you are recording negative performances in terms of your stock price, meaning something is wrong. He walks in and he asks and he goes and checks all the factory lines in France. And one of them was in the hometown of Peugeot, Sochaux. And he walks onto the factory floor and he sees that they've got 28 versions of the same steering wheel for a customer. That's just one of the examples, meaning they had too many lines that confused a customer. Now, I'm advancing the discussion a lot more versus where we started off from. Why I'm identifying that is, doesn't matter in what range you find yourself, whether you find yourself as a radio journalist, as a journalist, as a business leader, as a professor, as a priest or a pastor, as a teacher or whatever. You have a brain where you have to identify things that work and things that don't work. Systems that are applicable and systems that are not. Now, Helmut, if I was one of those government officials there in Katima and I saw that we just had backyard gardens being the success story.
Yeah.
It's a strong point. The negative point was,
and backyard poultry that, some people stole
some of the, look, look, Helmut, there's nothing you can do in terms of human to human relations. That guy was just bad luck, or he just had negative neighborly relations with whoever were the actual perpetrators of said particular discomfort.
Look, man, the name of that, I think it's the name of that poultry, say, what, Tulikavulio, which means we are trying.
Aye, aye.
It turns out. And then someone decided to go there and try in the middle of the night.
Hey, man, it could have just been a hyena, you know. France's region is a pretty wild west region.
You're really hoping France is not leaving.
No, he'll call in. I know he'll call in. But his region is a pretty wild west region himself. I mean, if you can literally see the elephants walking around with trees in their trunks.
The human-to-human interaction is a good way of putting it.
So, I mean, the "we are trying" phrase, as you translated it, was a scenario probably of, you know, it could have been human-wildlife conflict, or it could have been purely just human-to-human bad relations. I would actually put this down to a scenario of looking at, there are strong points, good things, that many of these community leaders were developing. even though the Ministry of Gender officials, they weren't as confident in sharing the information, because it was like they, you know, the lady that was presenting sounded like, you know, a learner that was standing in front of a principal with the school board behind
him. I had to max
principal.
My volume for...
Me too, bro. Yeah. I had to listen to what the woman was saying. And the camera person is standing right next to the woman.
Uh-huh.
And I still couldn't hear her. However, moving away from that point, there were a lot of good things. The downside is, if the scenario was that each of those backyard gardens were producing tomatoes, then you would have a big problem. But if there was variety, sure. The next step I would have done is actually, you know what? Let's do a weekend market. Yeah, but we'd like to sell to AMTA. No. We are the ministry officials. We want to lead you to the promised land. So you need to develop a marketplace whereby you bring what you're producing every weekend or every month end, and you promote on local media or on, you know, on sticking posters to walls and stuff like that, and just doing your basic way of marketing. Invite people to come and buy. That would be the way to go, Helmut. The neighborhood market, the traditional marketplace, is the way to go to generate commercialization in this country, specifically in many of the communal areas. If you're going to hope for an offtake, a major offtake, like one of the big retailers, well, you and I heard it from the guy, the broccoli guy,
yeah,
where his neighbor, the watermelon guy.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense because the watermelon guy was losing money for a truck driving from Windhoek to come and pick the stuff up, bring them back to Windhoek,
yeah,
just for the same truck to come to literally
take
go
the
and
same
this,
product.
To take or the same product back, back to Nkurunkuru, because they don't know distribution. They don't know about supply chain management. They don't know about customer development mechanisms or customer relationship management. They don't know how to generate a market.
But the whole watermelon story. Sorry, I'm going. The watermelon story is somewhat that's when until you pointed out. That's when that's when I came to realize just how much of the technical technical rules that basically have to be adhered to by the grocery store guys.
Mm.
So I'm buying something from you, but it must get here so that I can basically, I can know how much we are supplying.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is that done for health inspection purposes?
What do you mean in health inspection purposes?
Why not just let those guys there, tell you how many, or you can just drive there and look at how many watermelon they produced. Well, then distribute it from there. So you don't have to, because that's a lot of cost.
Yeah. The scenario that was explained from that, reaching a market scenario from the broccoli guy was that.
You don't think he's listening, do you? Because broccoli guy is not his name.
No, he said, I know what his name is, but I'm going to use broccoli, just to identify broccoli him by. Guy. Broccoli guy. Try to take, remember his basic faux pas was growing broccoli, assuming that people in Nkurunkuru eat broccoli, showing up in Nkurunkuru, asking them, do you want to eat broccoli? Do you want to buy my broccoli? And people were like, what are you selling to me?
What is that?
What is that? And no, we don't want it. Just for him to recuperate part of his production cost through just selling the leaves of the thing. So he still sat with the bulb. Mm-hmm. He's literally still sat with the main vegetable.
Yeah.
The watermelon guy, as he explained, his neighbor, got hold of one of the large retailers in Windhoek here, who said, yeah, sure. All you need to do is just buy the boxes and the stickers to label the stuff.
Yeah.
We'll come and pick up the things ourselves and transport it. However, the price he asked or laid down, it's obviously a negotiated price.
Yeah.
Because when his same particular watermelon ended up in an Nkurunkuru shop, a couple of kilometers away from him.
Yeah.
It was vastly more than the price that he obviously asked. Now, this is where things get more interesting. Do not be astonished when you see your watermelon, dear listener. It costs $60 in the shop. And you asked 15 Namibian, 15, 1 5 to sell the thing to the middleman, the intermediary.
Yeah.
Why? That intermediary had to take into account how many overheads they have. So they've got the truck driver with the petrol, with the truck, with the insurance of the truck driving to you to pick up the watermelon. So they're going to add on a percentage of the overall cost onto, let's say, the 15 Namibian dollars per watermelon that you charge them, Amut.
Yeah.
Then that truck's going to transport that watermelon back to the central distribution point. So it's going to be, in cool storage, meaning it's refrigerated with electricity. It's going to get to more cool storage, more electricity with a bigger fridge here in Windhoek. So that's extra costs per day. Then being distributed, priced, labeled, dispatched to the various distribution points, which is that Inkurunkuru shop of the same large retailer in Kavango West, showing up there. And ultimately, you have to take an account for the staff, meaning the salaries, the water and electricity bill, the other particular miscellaneous costs associated to handling and distributing and storing the item. You will get to the 60 Namibian dollar actual price that gets to the customer. So now that means to you, the producer, don't become greedy and then say, why is my thing costing 60 bucks and I sold it to you for 15? Understand that that guy has to cover a lot of costs in between. And remember, the biggest favor that they did was they could pick up your product for you while still buying it from you. And they asked you just put it in this packaging, which we recommend you put it in. So you also didn't technically have to, you know, break your head about packaging or adequate packaging to package the particular product in. So in many cases, Namibians have to start opening up their eyes, Helmut, to a lot of things happening around them, being aware, taking stock, recognizing additional input factors that can just give you that small competitive advantage in terms of being attractive to a customer. Yes, one tomato is not different from the next tomato. Obviously, if it's two different kinds of tomatoes, if it's the cocktail tomato, that's a very small one, or if it's the literal tomato, that's the actual size we know it as by. Sure, those would be the other only differences, but if it's the same thing, same size, same color, you know, you could probably put, you know, little bow ties or stuff or paintings or, you know, decorations around the one and put the other one in different decorations to sort of like show the distinction. But yeah, that's all that you are left with.
Basically to wrap it up, we have to up our marketing game. This is this is something that has been observed to be lacking in both big projects and small projects.
Yep.
Our marketing game is not, in the words of our former president, it's not top notch. We have to kick it up.
Not top notch.
Yeah, look, I mean,
you in top notch, ne?
You have
former president will start sending us invoices every time you use top notch.
You have a standing committee telling you that, okay, look, we understand.
Yeah.
That, you understand that, you have a problem attracting customers. But, how are we supposed to help you do that? Like, isn't that like supposed to be your role as a business individual?
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, we understand that. So that's why, that's why the gentlemen and ladies in Valvis Bay were told the point that, I read before and I'm going to read it again, that in regards to the business inability to attract customers due to its location, the committee was of the opinion that the business lacked marketing strategy and proper branding, which makes it difficult for customers to locate them. Like, basically that's a standing committee telling you, well, we gave you the money. When are you supposed to use some of it to do marketing?
Mm.
Which is where Eagle FM comes in. You're welcome.
And on that note, guys, enjoy the rest of your programming after the break. We'll obviously see you again tomorrow, same time, same place. And stay tuned for the rest of your programming on Eagle FM.